During this month of February, we are focusing on sharpening the skill of empathy. In our initial study last week, we looked at the definition of empathy, which is the intellectual and emotional identification of the thoughts, the feelings, and the state of another person. We noted the origins of the word empathy and how it differs from a very similar sounding word, sympathy. We also considered how every believer, every Christian, has the capacity and the responsibility to show empathy to others. This morning, I'd like to move on to the demonstration of empathy. What does empathy look like? It's actually very similar to our Sunday evening messages up at the Texas Church, where we are looking at essential examples of empathy from the life of Christ. Each Sunday evening, we're taking an episode from the Gospels and showing how Jesus demonstrated empathy. For this morning, though, I'd like to go to an Old Testament passage where God gives us the basics of really what empathy is all about. And I do this intentionally because a lot of folks have been given a false impression about God, that the God of the Old Testament is all wrath and judgment and anger, and the God of the New Testament is all, you know, love and grace and forgiveness. But God hasn't changed. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. And the God who loves us loved then as well. And from this, I would imagine, pretty familiar passage, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have heard the story of Moses and the burning bush, right? But in this narrative, we see a very simple yet very all-inclusive view of what empathy is. And it's coming from God himself. But there's also lessons that we can learn in showing empathy ourselves. I'd like to actually begin, if you would turn to Exodus, to chapter 2, the verses leading up to what Melissa read for us. Exodus chapter 2 kind of sets the scene for what takes place in chapter 3. You will remember that at the end of Genesis, Joseph, who had been sold by his brothers into slavery, into Egypt, ends up through his own faithfulness, but also through the hand of God, is in a position of power there in Egypt. And when a worldwide famine hits, he brings his family from the land of Canaan to Egypt, essentially saves all their lives, and they settle there. And God prospers them there to the point that the Egyptians become frightened, they become jealous, they oppress them, they make them their slaves. And in Exodus chapter 2, down in verse 23, says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. The Israelites were enslaved, they were oppressed, they cried out to God for help. And in verse 24, it says, God heard their groaning. Then verse 25 says, God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. This is the divine demonstration of empathy. Now, I was curious to see what the original language said about that last phrase, was concerned about them. I noted last week the word empathy does not appear in our Bibles. But that phrase, he was concerned about them. I wanted to know, where did that come from in the original language? And I looked at several different English translations to see what it had to say. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says the God saw the Israelites and he took notice. The Message says God saw what was going on with Israel. God understood. The New Living Translation says he looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. Well, that's different. The Contemporary English Version says, and because he knew what was happening to his people, he felt sorry for them. Now that sounds like sympathy. We talked about that last week. You feel sorry for someone, you have pity on them. The most literal rendering from the original text belongs to the English Standard Version, which simply says, God saw the people of Israel and God knew. He knew what was happening to them. Remember, we're talking about God. His knowledge is perfect. It's like those commercials that we've been seeing on TV now for a while. Jesus, he gets us. He knows what we're going through. He understands. That word, the Hebrew verb we're going to look at in a little bit, literally means to know. And isn't it comforting that in the midst of our suffering, whatever it might be, God knows. He knows what we're going through better than anyone. Now we move down to chapter 3, the passage that was read for us earlier. As Moses is standing before the burning bush, God said, take off your sandals, this land is holy, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And in verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of the people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned for their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Divine empathy for Israel's suffering. You see it there in verse 7. I have seen their misery. I have heard their cry. And literally, I know their suffering. Far from mere emotions, the Bible uses active verbs to describe God's empathy. He hears, he sees, he knows. One commentator calls this God's intimate attention to what was happening in their lives. Now, don't misunderstand. When the Bible says that God sees or he hears, that doesn't mean that God has eyes and ears. We know that God is a spirit. He is not confined to a body like we are. But he has the capacity to see and to hear and to know. And wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, we have this assurance. God sees us. God hears us when we cry out to him, and God knows what's happening in our lives. So let's take a look at these three actions of empathy. Not only how God demonstrates them, but how we can learn in our own demonstration of empathy to others. First, we read that God saw their circumstances. Now we know that God sees everything. Proverbs 15:3 tells us, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Nothing escapes the notice of God. He sees all. And yet there's something more than merely vision here. The Hebrew verb that is used here, you see in the Old Testament, can be translated see or look. And it appears about 1,300 times. It's a very common verb throughout the Old Testament. And most of these occurrences are being able to see with physical eyes. It's just talking about human sight, what we observe through our vision. Literally, it means to see, to look at, but it also means to inspect, to perceive, to consider. Implied is the ideas of to learn or to gain understanding. So the idea here is not simply a passing glance where we see something with our eyes, but it doesn't really register, it doesn't really sink in. I find this happens a lot when I'm driving. Going down the road, and of course my eyes are open, I'm looking around, I'm seeing what's going on, and my wife will say, "Oh, did you see that?" Nope. Now, I probably did, all right, because it was out in front, it was within my sphere of vision, so my eyes probably did see it, but I wasn't looking at it. I didn't think about it. I didn't focus on it. And there's a lot of things in our lives that happen that way. We pass by people all the time, and our physical eyes see them, but do we really look at them? We may acknowledge that they're there, but do we really perceive? Do we focus on another person? So it's more than just the physical capacity to see. It means to perceive, to ascertain, to learn, to look at something and come to a conclusion about it, to give it some thought. You see this in Genesis 26:28. "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you." Now that's not something they physically saw with their eyes, but they perceived it, they learned it. Through what they saw, they could tell that God was with this person. In Job 4, verse 8, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble will reap it." Again, not just merely physical sight, but observation. I've seen this and now I've learned from it. I understand what's going on. This is includes perception as well as vision. We might call this intellectual seeing. Through our seeing, we learn, we know. The Greek equivalent of this is found in John 4:19, where the Samaritan woman at the well says to Jesus, "I can see that you are a prophet." That wasn't simply with her eyes, that was with her mind. She saw, she learned, she could perceive the truth. A deeper use of this verb carries the connotation of examining. In Genesis 11:5, "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building," speaking of the Tower of Babel. So I'm going to go down and see what's going on. Well, he could see from where he was, but he wanted to investigate it. He wanted to examine it. He wanted to look deeper. Now, along with this intellectual seeing, there is also an aspect of emotional seeing. In Genesis 21:16, remember Hagar and her son Ishmael were driven away from the home of Abraham. They were out in the desert. And the verse says, she went off and sat down nearby about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch my boy die. There is a lot more than just physical observation. The emotion is there. I can't bear to see this. I can't watch this. And there's something to be said for emotional seeing as well. You see the other end of that spectrum in Genesis 43:30. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. Now, these were tears of joy. He's being reunited with his younger brother that he hadn't seen in years. Overcome with emotion at the sight of his brother. So you see intellectual seeing, you see emotional seeing. And I think both of these come together in Exodus 3:7, where God says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. God saw what was happening. He inspected closely what the Egyptians were doing to those Israelite slaves. He perceived their misery. There's also this sensitive feeling that makes the Lord aware of the Israelites' plight. And you see his graciousness that prompts him to act, to do something about it. So you have both intellectual and emotional sight in those words. Now you might say, what does this have to do with empathy? A large part of demonstrating empathy is in our seeing. When we encounter another person, what do we see? What do they see in us? Body language goes a long way to reveal what's going on inside of another person. Look at their body language. Observe. You might go to them and say, hey, how you doing today? And they say, fine. But everything about their facial expression and their body posture says just the opposite, right? Oh, you can hear the word, but you're seeing something totally different. Body language is very important. We need to also be demonstrating the right body language to show that we care. When you're talking to somebody, eye contact, very important. You know, if you go to somebody and you say, well, hey, friend, how are you doing? And they start to tell you what's going on, and you're looking out here, and you're looking over there, and you're distracted. What are you telling them by your own body language? I'm not really listening. I don't really care. Right? We've got to be careful what we project that others will see, and we need to be aware of what they are projecting to us. You may not have to say anything, but just a nod of the head lets them know that you're hearing and you're seeing, you know, you care about them. So what we project to others and then what we see ourselves. Facial expressions can go a long way to communicate maybe what the words aren't saying. True empathy employs vision, but not just seeing with our eyes. We need to employ that intellectual seeing that goes beyond the surface, that examining or the perceiving. We also need that emotional seeing that feels with the person right where they are at the time. Furthermore, in Exodus 3:7, God not only sees, but he hears. You know, from the very beginning, our Creator is a speaking God, but he is also a hearing God. He's attentive to the needs of his people. Surely I have seen the affliction. I have heard their cry. We see here the attentiveness of God. He's never too busy. He cares about what's happening in our lives. And notice that the seeing and the hearing of God matches the Israelites groaning and crying. I see their misery. I hear their cry. He doesn't ignore us when we cry out to him. This is echoed in Psalm 34:15. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry." God sees and God hears. Now, the Hebrew word here, I was a little surprised to learn, is a common one. It's the verb shema. One of the most important verses in all of the Old Testament to a Jewish person begins with that very verb. In Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That first word, hear, that shema, listen, listen up. Hear, O Israel. It's a Hebrew word that appears over 1,100 times in the Old Testament. And once again, it means hearing with our ears, but there's nuances in it as well. In Genesis 37:17, a man told Joseph that he heard his brothers say, "Let us go to Dothan." In other words, he overheard something. It's not something that was said to him, but he overheard it. And it's still registered. He remembered. Shema can also mean to give undivided attention, as when Joseph asked his brothers to listen as he recounted what he had dreamed in Genesis 37:6. Or in 1 Chronicles 28:2, when David told his audience to listen as he spoke. Listen up, pay attention, would be another good way to put that. We need to be listening. We need to hear. And just like the Hebrew word for seeing implies gaining knowledge or gaining understanding through sight, shema means the same thing through hearing. We don't just hear words. We gain insight. We gain understanding as to what someone is going through. As with seeing, hearing can be intellectual, but it can also be spiritual. We may hear God through his word. We can learn from God. Remember the prophet Balaam? He's best known for his talking donkey. But in Numbers 24:3-4, he says, "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of the one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of the one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened." He hears the word of God. He's listening. He's paying attention. To have a hearing heart means to have discernment, to have understanding. In 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon asks, "So give your servant a discerning heart." Literally, that is listening heart. But it's a discerning heart. "To govern your people and to distinguish." There's another use of the word shema, between right and wrong. In Deuteronomy 1:16, Moses tells the judges of Israel to hear cases that come before them. He's not just talking about having your ears open, but listen so that you may discern what is right and what is wrong. And the demonstration of our own empathy involves hearing as well. We often can hear in a tone of voice or a hesitation in what's being said that there's something beyond the words. We need to be hearing. We need to be listening. And there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is gaining information for oneself, but listening implies caring for, being empathetic toward the other person. It's communicating that they matter to you because you're really listening. Again, you're not being distracted by other sounds or noises around you. You're focused in. You want to hear what's really going on in that person. In listening, we interpret, we try to understand what we've heard. Listening involves more than being passive or half-hearted in our attention that comes, the words that come from another person. Effective listening is really an active process. It involves being able to set aside our own conflicts, our biases, our preoccupations, so that we can concentrate on what that person is saying. It's avoiding those subtle verbal and nonverbal expressions of disapproval and judgment of what a person is saying. Man, that is hard. You're listening to someone, you're hearing them, and they say things that just turn you the wrong way. And boy, it's about all you can do to keep that off your face, right? You know, you don't want to show disapproval. You want to listen. You want to, you know, let them know that you care about them. And man, that can be a difficult thing to set aside my feelings as I'm trying to hear theirs. Using both our eyes and our ears to detect the messages that come from them. Not just what they're saying, but how they're saying it. You know, the body language, the tone of voice, all those things that we have talked about. Listening for not only what is said, but what's left out. What are they not saying? Sometimes that communicates as much as what they are saying. Noticing their physical characteristics and watching how they interact with you. Waiting patiently in the silent times. Boy, that's tough. Silence is awkward. You ever notice that? When there's an extended period of silence, our tendency is to try to fill that void with something. If they're not going to talk, I will. Listen. Listen in the silence. Be observant. And realizing that we accept that other person, even though we may not condone their actions, we may not agree with their values or even their beliefs, but letting them know that you matter. And I'm giving my attention to you. I'm listening to what you have to say. One of our biggest downfalls is as we're listening, we're trying to decide what am I going to say next, right? Trying to form my response. Try to resist that urge. Just listen. Listening is a powerful tool that lets somebody know that you care. But when we don't listen, when we try to, you know, always be giving advice or giving counsel by talking, sometimes that reveals our own insecurity. You know, we're trying to prove our worth. We got to give them something that they can use. But when we listen, when we really listen, we communicate to that other person, I care. I really want to know what you're going through. I want to know how you view this and how you feel about it. It goes a long way in showing empathy. James 1:19. I need this tattooed on my forehead sometimes. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You want one verse that encapsulates empathy? That's a good one. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I mentioned last week about how, you know, anger can really get in the way of empathy. We've got to be careful that we don't allow our emotions to get too involved. And then finally, Exodus 3:7 says that God knew their condition. I mentioned earlier the NIV uses was concerned, both at the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. That verb is yada. It means to know. And it occurs over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. God says, I know their situation. You say, well, of course, God knows everything. Well, this is beyond just intellectual knowledge. This goes into the emotions. I know how they feel. I know what it's like. Sometimes that means to know by observing and reflecting. We see what someone's going through and we learn from that. We can gain knowledge that way. But sometimes knowledge comes by experience. And this is where at times our empathy can be shown through the experiences we have. Paul writes to the Corinthians, the God of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others with the same comfort we ourselves have received from him. So sometimes our experiences can be beneficial. Now, it may not be that we communicate those experiences because we don't want to be like the person that hears a story and says, ah, that's nothing. Let me tell you what happened to me, okay? That just blows empathy right out of the water. We don't want to try to one-up somebody when they're telling us their experiences. But if we've been through something like it, keep that in your mind. Remember how it felt when I was there. We may have an opportunity to communicate that. Maybe not. That's okay. But we know. We know where that person is at that moment. It's even used in the Old Testament in an interesting way. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and had a son. Now, that idea of knowing is kind of a euphemism at that point, but it's the most intimate form of knowledge that two people can have. I'm certainly not suggesting we should have that kind of knowledge with everyone we empathize with, but there is a connection. There's a human connection when we empathize, where you get to know a person by watching them, by listening to them, by entering into their experience with them. And that's what empathy is all about. It's our ability to enter deeply into another's subjective world, into their internal frame of reference, to feel with them as much as we humanly can. And we do so without being overwhelmed ourselves. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus understands and experiences our perspective. He knows how we feel. But he does so without losing truth or becoming enmeshed. So he can help us and he can be most effective. He sees, he hears, he knows what we're going through. He's empathetic toward us. So in our demonstration of empathy, try not to react based on how you feel about another's problems, but on how you would feel if you were in their place. Oftentimes when somebody comes to us with their problems, they're not looking for answers. They're not looking for advice. They're looking for someone that cares. And following that very simple definition and demonstration that God gives of empathy, I have seen, I have heard, I know. That's a pattern for empathy that we can all develop. So that as we encounter people and we're trying to communicate the compassion of God to them, we can be like God. We can see, we can hear, we can know. We can enter into that with them. Their mountain may indeed be a molehill, but if they see it as a mountain, we need to help them work through those feelings to get a better perspective. And how we see, how we hear, how we know goes a long way in showing empathy to another person. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are a God of compassion. You are a God who cares. You care deeply about us. You see what's happening in our lives. You hear our prayers. You know our situation. But there are many who don't know you and have no idea what that's like. I pray that we might be your eyes, your ears, your mind, your heart. Help us to demonstrate empathy to others so that they know that somebody cares. And then may we lead them to you, who is the ultimate in caring for them. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.